thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege of meeting together and being called your children. And God, we turn to you as the giver of life and the giver of all good things. We turn to you, we place our faith in you, God, because we know you love us, because we know that you sent your son to die for us, and that's the greatest possible gift you can give. And so, Lord, we know the depth of your love, and we come here to celebrate that and to encourage each other in that. Help us to do that. Help us to be your children and seek you constantly. In Jesus' name, amen. We have it? Yes, good, okay. I didn't want to, you know, put you on the spot again. Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field to pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered the field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water, just as the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave to her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless you," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead," she added. "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with the workers until they have finished harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work with him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law.
It takes place about a week ago when we were talking and preaching team, and I was talking to Debbie about this earlier, how we process and we talk and we get through it and we think we know what we're doing, and then you get that call from Doug, "What's your thesis?" Like, "Oh no," and then I mumble something a little unintelligible and have to really actually hone what I'm talking about. And so that's what I have here is what I started with once I actually figured out I had to focus somewhere. So looking at Ruth 2, my thesis would be that God works behind apparently insignificant events, and that through our faithfulness, he accomplishes his purpose. In Ruth 2, the story has some seemingly insignificant events. Ruth goes to the fields to get food. She asks to glean. She works hard. Boaz tells her to stay in his fields. Ruth thanks him for his kindness. Boaz gives her plenty of food, etc. And then Ruth tells Naomi about her day. And I think sometimes when we're analyzing a narrative like Ruth and we're just kind of looking at a story, it can be pretty hard to find some kind of biblical teaching. And I really didn't want to try too hard to find something that wasn't there. So I just, I was reading through one commentary that talked about how people who look at the story find the main characters as Ruth, Naomi, Boaz, and that they forget that there's another character, which is God, working behind the scenes of this story. So I wanted to look at God working behind the scenes of some insignificant events. In my own life, I've had some really amazing friendships with people in the last couple of years that started out with some insignificant events. Back when I was going through my cancer surgeries, I got a lot of emails from people. And one of them stood out in particular. It's a friend of mine who I barely knew. I knew her husband because he was in a band that I went to see a lot. And she wrote an email to me that was just very simple, but it had a verse from Isaiah that was just super encouraging to me during that time. And, you know, through events and being busy with what I was going through, I never had a chance to really tell her about that. And so a couple years down the line, I just happened to be, I printed out all my emails because you don't get written letters anymore, you get emails. And I'm one of those people, I've kept all my written letters that people have sent me. So I printed them out and I was just flipping through, kind of remembering everything I was going through, and I came across that verse from her, and I thought, oh my gosh, I remember that. It was so significant to me. And so I found her on MySpace. That puts your setting in mind. This was quite a few years back when everybody was on MySpace instead of Facebook. And I just sent her a message saying, you know, I came across this verse you sent me, and it was really encouraging to me, and I just wanted to let you know that. And that's it. And she blogged about that later, and I, you know, came across it about how she had just sent this off. She didn't know that it was going to do anything, and really this deep, deep friendship sprang out of that connection that we made. And we went on to have a girls' Bible study together. We saw each other at concerts a lot. We prayed for each other through some really difficult work situations, and just that seemingly insignificant email and the fact that I just was flipping through them later sparked this significant encouragement in my spiritual life. And so God is working many times through these insignificant seemingly events. And so I want to take another look at Ruth and kind of look at God's work there. So Ruth goes to the fields to get food. And one of the things that I noticed about that is that the initiative there was Ruth's. It wasn't that Naomi was saying, hey, you should go out in the fields and get some food for us, but Ruth took the initiative, and Naomi even says, yeah, go ahead. She doesn't even say, like, oh, hey, well, there's this kinsman of mine who has this field. You should go. You know, she doesn't even direct Ruth at all. And then I noticed another thing with that section of the text is that it talks about, it says, as it turned out, she ends up in Boaz's field, which is like, it just so happened. And when you really think about God working in events and in our lives, things don't just so happen. There are specific things that in God's plan, I think, that don't completely negate free will, but he's going to work towards his purpose in our stories. And the next thing is that she asks to glean. And I focused on that because she didn't have to ask. This was set up in Leviticus in the laws that people would not glean all the way to the edges of their fields because those were specifically set aside for the poor and the strangers in the land to go and find food and be able to survive. And so it was kind of a humble act to go to the overseer and say, is it okay if I, you know, maybe she just didn't understand that it was okay, but, you know, you kind of get the idea that Ruth feels undeserving. And we get that feeling later again when she says, I don't even have the standing of one of your servants. So she's working hard in this field. And what's significant there is that it's noticed. The overseer notices it. Boaz notices it, saying, you know, who's this lady out here? And the overseer says, well, she's been working, you know, from morning until now, however long now is, but it seemed like it was a long time since he says something about just a short little rest in there. And, you know, she's just working to try and get food, but people are noticing what she's doing, especially knowing that she's doing it for her mother-in-law and for herself. Boaz tells her to stay in his fields. He's offering protection. He tells the men not to lay a hand on her. He lets her gather in a position with his maidens that is actually going to ensure that she gets a significant amount of, I mean, she's going to have success in what she's doing. And then later he even, you know, says, hey, give her a little extra. And Ruth thanks him for that. There's humility, gratitude, there's comfort in these situations, these relationships that are starting to build. And she says, you put me at ease by speaking kindly. And another way that that is translated is that you've spoken to the heart of Ruth. It's a turning point in the story because all the way up until now, it's been the death of her husband and going to this new land and all these kind of tragic events. And this is one of the first positives after the death of her husband. And she really is emotionally impacted by that. And Boaz gives her plenty. There's some special attention here. I don't know if it's his way of kind of wooing her, but he definitely notices her at mealtime. He pays special attention to her. She sits next to him and gets extra food. She even saves some of it to take home to her mother-in-law later. He arranges special treatment, and in the end, she ends up with an ephah, I think that's how you pronounce it, which is an impressive amount. Impressive enough that when she gets home, Ruth is kind of surprised. Look at what you have. This is amazing. Where were you? You know, obviously somebody was helping you out. She kind of gets that idea because it's an impressive amount for a gleaner. And so Naomi, Ruth tells Naomi about her day and kind of says, yeah, I was in this field, this guy named Boaz, really? Thinks that I should play. Now, I don't know if Naomi started thinking about it then, but she knew, and it starts out in the beginning of the chapter talking about Boaz being one of their relatives, because we kind of needed to know that as we were going into the story. But we're going to find out a lot more about him as it keeps going. And I think that Naomi is, when she starts to think about and tell Ruth to stay there and to accept this position in his field and knowing that he could possibly be their kinsman redeemer or guardian redeemer, it said in the NIV, The idea with that position in a family was that all property kind of belongs to Yahweh, and including in marriage. And so it was customary for the redeemer to redeem property, and that could be temporarily sold. It wasn't really considered sold because it doesn't really belong to you. It belongs to God. But there was a process here, and it was also common to marry the widow. So this could be a really good thing for Ruth, and spoiler alert, it will be. Maeve keeps criticizing me that when you say a spoiler alert, you're supposed to like allow some time so that people can like cover their ears or eyes or whatever, but I think we all know how this ends. So I think that Naomi is, she's in sincerity thinking about Ruth's future and not being scheming or conniving when she tells her to continue working there and starts to scheme as well, as we see in chapter 30. So through our faithfulness, he accomplishes his purpose. There are a lot of characters in this story that are demonstrating faithfulness. So Ruth's faithfulness, we can see in verses 11 and 12, when Boaz talks about, I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. So God may have even been working through Ruth before she believed, which is usually what we think of with faithfulness, that it has to have some kind of a belief behind it. Naomi's faithfulness can be seen in these verses. The Lord bless them, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He's not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He's one of our guardian redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they have finished harvesting all my grain. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed. So God is working through Naomi, and we see a change in her from chapter 1, where she's despondent, and now she's realizing that God is actually looking out for her family, you know, in this change of events. And Boaz's faithfulness. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. So here's God kind of offering this protection and this space where she can work and provide for her mother-in-law and for her. And Boaz is really just showing God's love and mercy. And then the other character in the story, we have God's faithfulness. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. And as the story of Ruth continues, so does God's faithfulness. When we get to the end of this book, we know that Ruth is part of Jesus' lineage. She's one of his ancestors. And so she plays a role, whether it's significant or not, in the whole story, the whole gospel, the whole God's plan. So God works behind apparently insignificant events, and through our faithfulness, he accomplishes his purpose. And it's kind of hard to actually find verses that don't talk about God's faithfulness. A lot of the Bible is about God's faithfulness. But we are charged to be faithful as well. In 1 Corinthians 4, it said, and I love this Amplified version, I'm sorry, but I have to use it sometimes. So. So then let us apostles be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. Because that's how we demonstrate Christ to others. That's how God works through us to affect others. That's how our stories mingle together, and we're all part of the story. Quakers have a series of queries to help us focus on spiritual aspects of our life and guide our spiritual contemplation. And so I went to the Northwestern Meetings website to try and find one that would connect with this story. And I had to change it because it just wasn't a good enough question. Their question was, does your inward faith turn outward? And I can't tell you how much I hate yes, no questions. There is no contemplation in that. Yep. No, not really. So I've changed it to say, how does your inward faith turn outward? And I think that's something that we can think about in our spiritual lives, and just thinking about how your faithfulness could impact an insignificant event in someone else's life and allow God to make it significant. Thank you.